Warning: the following is intended for mature audiences. It includes references to the use of illicit substances as well as crude humor. Listener discretion is advised. Warlocks. Blanket statement, warriors. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
And once again, you've tuned into the War Pod, part of the Space City Nerd Network, the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, Musings of a Geek Network, and the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Before we get started, I did want to remind everybody to go ahead and check out our new YouTube series, our Let's Play of the Master Chief Collection. We're already 5 episodes in, and we'll probably be 6 episodes in by the time you're hearing this, and we're really excited for everybody to hang out and watch us attempt to play Master Chief on Heroic.
And if Halo's not your thing, and first-person shooters are not your thing, we actually have just started doing some more videos that are more retro game focused, so definitely check those out.
Tonight on the War Pod, we are going to be talking about Gotham Models, a Batman miniature game, Captain America Civil War. Details about what the Civil War is going to be about have been released. We're going to talk a little bit about the kerfuffle around Jimmy Kimmel's Let's Play and what it means to the Let's Play community, etc., etc. And we're going to do the top 3 worst games we've never played of all time! That's right, we are going to be judging games that we have not played. Mm-hmm. But first, let's talk about Comicpalooza Fanfare!
Yay!
Johnny.
Yes.
Tell me about Comicpalooza Fanfare.
So it's a thing.
Uh-huh.
Where you go and there's other people.
You've been watching Walking again. I can hear it. It's where you go and you go to see the people and the people.
They're there.
They're bunched up in one little arena.
Yep.
And you get sweaty and you see the cosplayer and you get sweatier.
That was a little... What is that? That was a little more northern accent that you just did there at the end. That wasn't quite walking. But,
Is he not northern?
He is, but that... It didn't sound quite walking.
This quickly became a plug for walking.
It did, and you did this. You did this to yourself. So, Comicpalooza Fanfare, it's a much smaller convention that Comicpalooza is putting on, because they're trying to basically make it Comicpalooza a year-round thing, so everybody's always thinking about Comicpalooza, and
but that's not a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying it is, but it's obviously in its infancy as far as the year-round thing, because this is a much, much smaller con. Hopefully, in the future, it'll get bigger and bigger. There's not a lot of guests that are announced at this point, but we're excited for the opportunity to get in there and talk to whoever, because we like talking to people.
I also kind of like the idea of a smaller con.
Yeah.
Because there's so much fanfare. There's so much pomp and circumstance surrounding the other ones. This is kind of like, you know, hey, you go into fanfare? Yeah, I guess. Is it going to cost me a lot? Not really. You know, and it's just... People, like, we were talking to Edge of Blade last night, and he's already prepping for PAX South.
Yes.
You know, this isn't one of those... end all be all, I'm going to devote half of my year to planning for this con. It's just a nice little casual con. Not a lot to think about, you know, but still plenty to do.
Which brings me to, well, just to along that same point, excuse me, amazing Houston Comic Con just happened.
Which our boys at SCN were at, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And you'll probably hear a lot more about that on their next podcast, which comes out the day after ours. So definitely check that out. And if for those that are new to the podcast, that's Space City Nerd. Those are those guys. So anyway, yeah. So Amazing Con just happened. I know a lot of people had fun there. I've seen a lot of tweets and pictures that came out. We were not there, obviously. But yeah, we went last year. At least I did. And I don't remember if you were there or not.
Amazing Con?
Yeah.
No, I've never been to Amazing Con.
Okay. It's much smaller. Much, much smaller. Where, if you've ever been to the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Comicpalooza takes over almost the entire thing, where Amazing is just like basically two different sections of it. It's much smaller. So, but they still have vendors and stuff, so you can walk around. A lot more comics, I think. I guess the ratio for vendors is there are just more comic vendors than there are most other things. It's very comic focused.
Okay, so would you say there are actually more comic vendors, or there's just less of everything else?
Probably just less of everything else.
Yeah, because there's a decent amount, and like these at these comic book conventions, if you haven't gone, people come in with like IKEA furniture, just rows and rows, drawers and literally drawers of. You're smiling at the way I say drawers, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Why would I do that? I wouldn't judge you.
Because some people say drawers, and that's the wrong way to say that.
That's the American way to say it.
It's wrong. Yeah. But they have drawers just full and just that you actually pull out, and just these comic book collections are insane.
Yes.
And so it's hard to imagine too much more.
Right.
Which is why I brought it up.
Oh, no. As far as the actual number, there are more at Comic Blues. I'm thinking a ratio of vendors. There's just more comic book vendors compared to vendors that are not comic books at Amazing. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the actual number of vendors, comic book vendors, there's more at Comic Palooza as far as comic book vendors.
So what you're saying is Amazing Con is inferior.
I love you, Amazing Con. I would never say that. But yeah, I mean, that's all we have. We're really just anticipating working with Fanfare and doing coverage there like we did with Comic Palooza. Those are nice people to work with, so we're looking forward to that.
I am really... I was going to make a bad joke.
Oh, well,
that's too bad. Not going to do that. I was going to say really looking forward to meeting Leonard Nimoy.
That is a bad joke.
That's a bad joke.
Yep.
Not proud of myself. So one thing that I did want to talk about, I didn't introduce it as part of everything that we were going to talk about on the original slate, I guess you'd call that.
Yeah.
Destiny.
Yes.
Destiny has announced that their next patch, I believe, is going to include a mercy rule.
Yes.
For the Crucible.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, you seem... When we talked about this earlier... well, let me slate it real quick. So, essentially, they are going to include an algorithm...
Right.
Okay, not a hard rule, an algorithm that is going to be able to look at a match, see if the players aren't suited well for one another, that one team is going to be far and away better than the other team.
I think it's based on the score.
Right. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you get too far ahead too quickly,
right?
Because it's not a hard rule about the points. If you get too far ahead too quickly,
too soon, yeah.
Then one team, they'll take the clock, drop it to 10 seconds in the match,
and let it end. Yeah.
Yeah, and also no one will be able to jump in. I guess that was a rule. I don't play Destiny.
Wait. It's similar to the way Halo was, and I think some other FPSs are like that. When you're doing the multiplayer deathmatch or whatever, is that if people drop out of the match early enough. Then they let people join in.
Okay,
when they're searching for matches, they'll just pop in. And that's happened to me. It was frustrating the first time I came across it because it seemed like I wasn't given a fair shot to get as many kills as everybody else because I was not in the match as long as they were. But yeah, so they stop people from jumping in, drop it to 10 seconds, and let that 10 seconds die out. And then obviously the people that are 20 points ahead are gonna win.
Yeah. Well, I think the margins are bigger. I looked at a couple of tables because you don't play Destiny either.
I don't.
Yeah, like they were talking about like the games that they consider to be blowouts. It's tens of thousands of points.
Right. Oh, yeah, they do points differently in that. Because I play Halo, and it depends on the map. Actually, I guess Halo 4 went to a point system like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people at home are thinking, oh, they're charlatans, they don't know what they're talking about, Destiny, blah, blah, blah. And that's a valid point, but the reason that I wanted to bring it up was I wanted to talk about, do we want mercy in our, I was going to say Let's Plays, in our multiplayer?
That's a good question. I've been thinking about this ever since you posed it to me. And, because I play, like I said, I play Halo, and there's matches... Any game like that that's competitive like that, you're going to eventually get in a match where you're just outmatched. Either it's because of the lag, either it's because you're just the skill's not there for you. Like, you just don't have the skill to overcome, and you just don't have the practice. And a party just wants it to be over quickly. But I very rarely, and I really like Halo for what it did where if you jump out of a match early, even if you're losing by a lot, if you jump out early, you get penalized.
Sure.
And there are strikes you can get against you for that. I kind of like the idea of kind of an honor-bound system where you get rewarded for staying in matches even though you're going to lose. And there's also that aspect of there's an ounce, less than an ounce, a fraction of an ounce of hope that you can overcome that deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always fun to see how far you can how close you can come to victory, even though you know you're going to lose.
You've been becoming the end of a Lord of the Rings movie recently. Like yesterday, we were talking about the stack,
yes,
in Magic the Gathering, and you were like, to me, the stack in Magic the Gathering is hope. And I still don't know what you mean by that.
Well, then what I mean by that is somebody casts a spell or tries to kill your creature, there is room for you to save that creature. And so that there's hope in that just because they cast a fireball on your creature doesn't mean that creature is necessarily gone. You have a chance to save it. So there's hope that you get to preserve that creature.
I feel like that hope has to diminish a little bit when they cast the fireball and you have nothing.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, you're holding one mana.
Absolutely. You're just crushed at that point.
I like to think that you're so optimistic in that particular game for some reason, despite all other evidence, that you're just like, I like the fact that I could have done something. Well done, Wizards of the Coast.
Right, the rules allow me that I could have saved it if I had the proper card and built this deck correctly.
As far as I'm concerned, we didn't get your hard opinion on it. Mercy rule.
Right. I think in that context, those matches are not usually terribly long. So in my experience, not that a Destiny matches, I don't know about those, but just other FPS games.
Destiny matches can go pretty quick. I played the beta.
Okay. I would say no, I don't want a mercy rule. But if it's painful to sit through a match like that, then I don't like it. I mean, I do like the fact that they're adding it. If you're talking about a match that's over 10 minutes. If it's less than 10 minutes, just deal with it. Try to learn as much as you can, and just deal with it. I mean, that's... Now, the other thing about that, though, on the other side of the coin, is that there are matchmaking systems built in that you should not be going up against people like that are way beyond your skill level that often.
Sure.
And that shouldn't be an issue. Obviously, it is still happening, and that's why they're including it. But yeah, I remember when I was playing Halo a lot, you're supposed to be going against people. The way it does happen is if you and your friends party up together and you're all different skill levels, eventually you're going to fight a group of other people that are way beyond your skill level.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I would like to say as long as those other systems are in place, I do not like the mercy rule.
Okay. Yeah. I would say on the whole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say on the whole, I don't like the mercy rule, and there's one strike for it, two against it for me. The strike for it is casual play.
Right.
Casual play, that's fine. Do whatever you want. Make it as fun as possible.
You're doing it for fun anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they call casual versus ranked. I'm playing Hearthstone right now, so I'm using those terms.
I don't remember Xbox One had this. I don't think they do, but I know on Xbox 360, when you signed up for Live, you actually got to put in there whether you were pro, casual, or something else.
I don't know.
I just remembered that. So anyway, go ahead.
Actually, I want to bring up why I don't know, yet another great analogy. Why PS4 is better.
Oh, God damn it.
Because I actually brought my Xbox One over to your place.
Yep.
And I keep all the boxes now to make it easier to transport.
Yeah.
And I brought it over to your place, then I brought it back home, and I never set it back up. It's actually, you can see it right over there, my Xbox One in its original box. PlayStation 4, so much fun, you'll leave your Xbox in its box.
You're going to compile a list of those sayings eventually. Now, what's funny about that, a little anecdote about that, is that you're playing your Xbox less than you ever have since you owned it, while I'm playing mine more than I did ever since I owned it.
I'm playing your Xbox more than I've ever played mine.
That's true. I'm glad we're doing the Halo Let's Play, by the way, because I was watching. They give you a little ranking of how many. What is that? The gamer score? Yeah. How much gamer score you've gained over the last 30 days mm-hmm. compared to all your friends? And I'm at the top of the list because of all the Halo we've been playing.
Yeah. but to get it back on track, okay.
Yes.
So casual play, it's for fun.
Yeah.
All the systems in place should be to make it the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
Ranked play. I don't like the idea, and I don't know if this is going to apply to ranked play. Like I said before, the details on this are sketchy at best. The specifics, the very specific. I don't like the idea that you may be ranked based upon a set of rules that didn't apply to other ranked matches.
Right.
It could have been much shorter.
Right.
At a certain point, new players weren't allowed in. Even if that was 10 seconds, 10 seconds can mean a lot in Halo multiplayer, I know that.
Yes.
I don't like that it becomes non-standard. And the second thing I don't like,
right,
is that it's an algorithm. It's not a point rule. It's not like,
right,
you're 60,000 ahead, okay, call the match here. It's actually designed to compare it based upon how much time has passed and how long you've been in the lead, what that lead is, etc., etc. And it just seems like there's going to be a margin for error. It's kind of like an MMA.
Yeah.
Because MMA, which is why I prefer MMA to boxing, the judge or the referee gets to call it any time he wants.
Right.
If there's an overwhelming advantage, then he gets to just stop. So, no, you win, clearly.
Right.
But the thing is, sometimes they're wrong.
They can be, yes.
Yeah, sometimes the guy is on top, you know, pounding the other guy, and what the ref doesn't see is him effectively defending and jabbing back. Does it look like he's losing? Yes, but could he pull through? Sure, and those matches get called
right, all
the time with a guy literally standing up from the match he just lost going,
why did I lose?
Yeah, yeah. What is this?
Yeah, I've seen that for sure. And yeah. Because there's a lot of different factors that go into that.
Now, that's a good thing for MMA because it keeps athletes safe.
Yes.
There's nothing to keep safe in Destiny.
That's true.
Except for people...
egos, maybe?
Huh? Well, there's been... I'm not going to pass judgment here.
Sounds like you're about to.
Kind of. there are lots of people who claim PTSD from gaming.
That's a thing?
Oh, there are people who claim PTSD from Facebook, which I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's becoming a little too trendy.
Yeah.
Huh? Have you not seen the...
I have not seen any of this.
You haven't seen the That's My Trigger meme?
Oh, I've seen That's My Trigger.
Yeah, that's where a lot of that comes from.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen that. Yeah.
Which is why I didn't want to get into it, because I know it's possible, and some people have very wrongly been persecuted by other people through social media, and it's actually led
on the internet?
Yes. See, there's actually this weird thing. There's negativity online.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
We need to go into more depth in this next episode.
We need to go into more depths in this?
Depth.
Ooh.
Depth. We're not going to... No.
We should do a troll hunter thing where we take time to troll the trolls who troll the trolls.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Troll heavy.
What is
that? I don't know.
I don't know why, but as soon as I thought Troll Hunter, I thought the front to the DVD of Troll Hunter.
That's a good movie.
And when you said troll heavy, I thought of him just wearing a big bloated diaper.
That's... Oh, boy.
Okay, so Troll Hunter's good.
Are we talking about the same movie, the independent movie, the foreign film?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Nothing about the way that movie has been presented to me. Of course, some of that may be, you know, Netflix captions, which are always awful.
Yeah.
But nothing about that movie has made me want to see it.
I really enjoyed it. Now, I watched it, I believe it was a maybe. I'm not saying it was or wasn't, but it may not have been obtained in a legal fashion. So the quality was not as great as it could have been.
That only matters in Transformers movies.
Right, but the thing is that part of that movie, the reason it's so awesome is because of the CG. And the CG may have looked better to me because the whole movie didn't look good visually. But from what I saw in my perspective, I thought it looked amazing. And it was one of those movies that, I don't know, I thought they did a great job using some found footage type perspective and camera work.
Mm-hmm.
That paired with actually decent CG from what I could see. And also kind of a,
Inspector Gadget.
No, the suspense a little bit.
Okay.
Like those three elements together, I thought made
I would say that Inspector really Gadget good. Has a lot of suspense.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Speaking of movies where the look is important, I mentioned Transformers just a second ago. I recently watched, Transformers Age of Extinction because I wasn't excited about two or three.
Was that the one with the giant worm thing?
No, I think that was three.
Yeah, I got so bored.
This one was dinosaurs. Yes.
No, I got so bored during three. I'm completely giving up on that series.
Well, the thing is, I saw three on FX, and there was something wrong with the way my cable was streaming at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so I was looking at a really grainy picture of it, and I couldn't decide like why people were so excited. And I was like, oh, I bet it's great in HD.
Yeah, that's the only thing that goes for it.
Okay, did you see Age of Extinction?
Not yet.
Age of Extinction is really weird.
I've heard a lot of people were disappointed with it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way too long.
Yeah.
And it's really hokey.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoping that you'd seen it because there's an effect in it where they learn exactly what the Transformers are made of, and they name it like Transformanium or something like that.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And I can't decide if the effect is good or bad. Like, I really can't, because like it's all cubic. That's the aesthetic.
Well, we're really off track now.
Mercy rule.
Your final verdict.
Until I see it, I'm gonna give it a thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
And your thumbs down all the
yes.
way. Okay. Your thumb is all the way down.
Oh, all the
it
way.
It couldn't get deeper.
No.
Next topic. okay. Something. Gosh, we've actually been at this a while, so I think we should talk about something other than Gotham models. I'm not saying it looks like a bad game.
We can go 5 minutes on that topic. I don't think we have to go in depth that much.
Gotham Models is a game that I am almost certain that you are going to absolutely love.
Yeah, it's Warhammer, but in the Gotham universe.
Well, it's more than it's even more than Warhammer.
More than?
Oh, definitely, because you have the terrain, and you get to play around
terrain in Warhammer.
You do?
As much terrain as you want.
Does it matter?
I think.
Like, if you set up
a tree, play a lot of Warhammer. I played with other people's pieces.
Thank you, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that proud schoolboy look, barely containing your smile since you said the word pieces.
Playing with other people's pieces.
Yes.
Other guys.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't say there was. It's still funny.
There's nothing to titter at.
Okay, anything sexual is funny. I'm sorry.
I honestly thought I was going to get you to laugh at the word titter.
Oh, no. But anyway, I think I watched a video of someone explaining the rules and showing a demo game, and it does look very interesting. It's something I could definitely get into. It reminds me I did play a lot of Mage Knight, and it reminds me of just a more complicated Mage Knight, which is, of course, Warhammer, but in the Gotham universe, and I love it that you can play different eras of Batman.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. And there's rumors, I don't know if they come out, I don't know exactly when this video I watched was made, but I don't know if it's out yet, but they are talking about rumors of bringing in the Adam West version of Batman.
Yes.
Which is very, very cool.
I knew you were going to be excited about this game because it's so complicated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we were talking about this last night, how you feel that when a game is very complicated, it's very mature.
Yes.
It seems odd.
I know.
Like, it seems like the more
but also the word I use a few times is the word challenge. I like the challenge of learning a complicated game.
I'd rather have the focus be on strategy than technical knowledge.
Well, a lot of times, especially in these cases, especially these type of miniature games, tactics and stuff like that are more varied and complicated partly because of the complication of the game. It adds to it.
I don't think that complication necessarily makes it deeper, though. And we've talked about it...
It is more challenging, though.
On the show several times before. Yeah. Go. The game Go. It may be the most basic board game ever. I can tell you all the rules right now.
Oh, okay. Anyway, you can if you want.
It's Othello. Have you played Othello?
I have.
Yeah.
I probably played it incorrectly, though. I don't know if I had or not. Because my dad owned it when I was a kid. I would fuck around with it. I think he taught me the rules, but I don't know if he taught me all the rules.
Yeah, and it's just you put a piece next to a piece and it becomes the color of your piece.
No, I played it right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all there is.
And it's hard. It's very hard.
But the game board in traditional Go is huge. It's like 64 by 64.
Yeah, see, I think my dad had one of the older ones.
I don't think it's 64 by 64. I think it's 16 by 16. It's a big board. Yeah. And you can place a piece anywhere.
It doesn't have to be next to anybody else?
Well,
has to be next to somebody else's
piece. It has to be next to a piece, but your first piece can go anywhere.
Oh, okay.
So the game can start in your opponent's corner.
Right, which makes it even more complicated. It's challenging. Hmm. That is a very challenging game.
Yeah.
I've hardly ever won playing that.
Yeah. But by that same token, a complex game, when there's so much to learn, it does feel like an accomplishment.
Yeah.
When you're good at that game.
Absolutely.
It feels like... but you see, the thing is, like, with my gaming experience, I'm always introducing people to new board games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always that... It's kind of like when you're watching a video with somebody and you really like the video, but they haven't taken the time to get into it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a movie that you've grown up on and you have a different appreciation for it.
Yeah.
And all the intricacies that go in it. You have not missed a second of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always this awkward, like, getting to know you phase.
Right.
I really appreciate games that cut out that entirely. And
I love that part. And that's another thing about my gaming antics is that I really like to hyper-focus on one game for a while.
Oh, not me.
And I love that. And because I love to really appreciate all the ins and outs of that particular game and get good at that game. That's why I still feel... Because I told myself recently that I would take a break from Twilight Imperium, and I have, but
by necessity.
Yes, but it's only a break because I still am not done with it. Because for one reason, I don't win that often, and I feel like I have to conquer that game, and it's still like this. It's bothering me that I haven't won.
I think I was done with that game
3 minutes in.
I give it a 5.
Yeah.
I give it 5 minutes into my first game. It's too much.
I love it.
There's way too much to know. And the thing... Oh, you know what? That crystallizes it well. Your first couple of times playing a very complex game like that, there's so much to know that you basically have to ignore strategy because you're busy learning.
Right. And that's why you have to play it 5 or 6 times.
You sound like an abused spouse. No, 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 no! No, this is good. It takes 5 or 6 times for you to really enjoy it.
Before you get used to the beatings.
Pain.
The beatings.
Yeah,
that's really... That game has tortured me. That game has tortured me. I think I've just grown to enjoy it. The torture.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. Captain America Civil War.
Yes!
There are rumors circulating. I'm calling them rumors. Because, you know, I'm reading these on, like, weird news outlets and stuff like that, comicbook.com.
I love that website.
It's a good website, but, you know, it's not like I watched a video of a Disney executive releasing a press statement.
Right. There's a lot of leaked info that goes through there.
Yeah, this is still classified as a rumor in my mind. Civil War. Civil War is going to cut out the Superhero Registration Act completely. They're going to have a similar plot device called the Accords.
Yeah.
And this was redesigned because there are no secret identities in the current Marvel Universe with the exception of, like, Spider-Man. Like, he's, like, the only one who has a secret identity.
I'm trying to think. I'm going down the list. Well, some of them are cryptic enough that people don't know the real, like, Scarlet Witch. No one knows who she really is.
Right, but she has done nothing.
To hide it?
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Right. Yeah, Iron Man definitely, everyone knows who he is. I'm assuming everyone knows who War Machine is. Vision doesn't matter. He doesn't really have a secret identity. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, and there's just... you know, for those of you who didn't read the comics, the Superhero Registration Act was really about, you know, the government getting access to who was a superhero, who wasn't. If you're going to be out there on the streets, let us train you. Let us give you a little money, which is actually the
let us control you was what it boiled down to.
Right, which is funny because Deadpool was all about it. He was very interested in being a superhero.
Yeah.
Because he knew he could get money out of
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
But I don't know. As far as them taking it out of the movie, I completely understand it because there's no big unmasking to do.
Right.
With the exception of Spider-Man, who is planned for the movie.
Right.
Yeah, Tom Holland's planned for Spider-Man. And so, you know, they may have a big reveal there, maybe, maybe not. But the Accords is really about the government taking over S.H.I.E.L.D.'s job because S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't exist. It doesn't officially exist in the Marvel Universe anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the government saying, okay, we don't have a S.H.I.E.L.D. now, so we don't have anybody who's in charge of taking care of metahumans, but we need something to rein you guys in, or you don't have any accountability. And in the movie, Tony Stark is all about the Accords, which he made from a box of scraps. I'm sorry, I went right into Jeff Bridges. No, he's all about the Accords, and that's going to be the dichotomy that, you know, Tony wants the Accords, and Captain America...
What is the Accords, exactly?
The Accords is the government saying... It's a set of rules that give the governments, basically, dominion over meta-beings.
Yeah.
Or superheroes, in whatever capacity they exist.
Yeah.
And so Iron Man's going to be all about this, and Captain America is not going to be. I can't decide if this is good or bad.
I'm getting more and more uncomfortable with it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because there are liberties that have to be taken for something to be adapted from book or comic book form. Both are books, if you didn't know. And
I call them magazines.
Magazines?
I really like calling comic books magazines. I'm not even being ironic.
Okay. But anyway, so there's always liberties that are taken by the film makers. To make it work on screen within the time allotted and their resources and just for visual storytelling. But it's getting more and more uncomfortable. And there was something that happened, I don't know if you heard about this recently, but they disbanded this group, this small group of executives and whatever that that kind of were a team that kind of were about keeping the Marvel Universe true-ish to the comics. And they were mostly made up of people who made comics and made these particular comics, some of the Marvel comics.
So
they disbanded it because one of the reasons I heard is that they don't need that direction anymore because they kind of got a handle on what is supposed to be done.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, which is a load of crap. What it is they don't care anymore. They've already got their hooks in
sure.
the public. So they don't need to stay true to the comics that much anymore.
Well, okay, so this body that you're talking about, which I didn't hear about, I thought you were going to talk about something else.
Yeah.
Because there was something about funding, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. This body had worked on the previous installments in the Disney Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yes.
Okay, so we're... Okay, that's an interesting thing, because the thing that I was referencing is there was one executive who was tired of being under the thumb of this other executive because they didn't want a big budget for Captain America and stuff like that. And so we're starting to lose parts of the team.
Right.
And I didn't know about your think tank, but that seemed like it was probably one of the most important ones.
Well, there's also that issue with Joss Whedon too. He didn't leave on good terms either.
He's gone. Where he's gone, gone.
Well, he's not directing any of the more movies.
Oh, but he's still doing S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Yeah. I think he is. Yeah. But there were some issues with that movie about decisions about which scenes were going to be left in and left and left in. Taken out and left in the movie.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
It was the Thor scene.
Yes.
The Thor scene that makes no sense
everybody,
in the movie.
Yeah, everybody's confused about it.
Yeah, which they shot all sorts of stuff to give it context.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. But I think these may be, hopefully not, but it looks like they're pointing to signs that the future of the Marvel DC movies and the cinematic universe or may be on the decline as far as appreciation from comic book people.
Definitely. I can tell. Yeah. It's going to be everyone is going to start jumping ship if they start to make the decisions that I think they're going to make. I mean, look at Fantastic Four. The second movie.
Right.
Galactus became a cloud.
Yeah.
Galactus, they took a superhero movie and they made it a disaster movie because they were afraid.
Right.
That's the thing, is like when you're trying to make money, you're trying to do what works, and they're like, well, you know, disaster movies are pretty safe. Let's just make Galactus a tornado for no reason.
Right.
But you know, that's not coming from the standpoint of creativity.
Right.
If we didn't have the body that you're talking about, that we're making sure that things were close to the comic books, mm-hmm. we would have never had Rocket Raccoon.
Right.
We would have never in a million years would we have had Thanos.
Right.
You know, Thanos would have been, it would have been Kevin Bacon in a white suit. and Than and Nos would
have... Or we'd have like what we're going to get in X-Men Apocalypse. Which is the Apocalypse that looks stupid. He looks like Ivan Ooze.
Yeah. Okay, the thing is, I'm okay with that Apocalypse. Fine with that Apocalypse.
Okay.
Honestly, because at this point, I know that Baron von Underbite was an homage to Apocalypse, but now that role would have been reversed and everybody would have said that they were ripping off the Adventure Brothers. Or the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either way. I have been up until recently really excited about Marvel Civil War. Now I'm getting, it's harder and harder to get excited for it.
Here's my apprehension.
Yeah.
I think that, okay, I can't decide if this is good or bad is because of Tony.
Okay.
Tony in the comic books is very different. He is a responsible, enterprising, recovering alcoholic.
Right.
You know, he has his ducks in a row. He's kind of like Superman in the comic books.
Uh-huh.
They're changing it to be more like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, especially, have you read any of the Secret Wars?
No.
Oh, they brought, so the Secret Wars is a mashing of of the multiverse, and it's all the fault of this other Tony,
who's
irresponsible and wisecracking.
He's from the MCU.
Yeah, so, and he has blue eyes.
Oh.
That's how you know the difference. But either way, my, Tony in the movies is set up to be, you know, irresponsible and freewheeling. And the Accords seem to have nothing to do with what his character would be about, because it's all about control. And all of his movies, all of his involvement in Avengers movies has been about him being out of control.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes doing the wrong thing to a great effect. And I can't decide if this is out of character or him or his character developing.
Right. Well, I think it's directly related to what happened in the second Avengers movie. He just feels guilty.
Mm. That he almost destroyed the world with his freewheeling ideas?
Yes.
I could see that.
I think that's really what it is.
Do you think that they will have the insight to actually talk about that and show a regretful Tony?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay.
I'm not sure of anything as far as this stuff goes. Like I said, I'm losing hope that these movies are going to continue to be good. And people are predicting that they're eventually going to plateau. I hope it's a little later than what some people are anticipating. I'm hoping that having Benedict Cumberbatch and certain, you know, in Doctor Strange, I'm hoping that'll be a boost because he's a big name actor right now. I'm hoping that certain movies will boost. I don't think that Black Panther is going to be a big deal, personally, to the mass public. I think it's going to be another mediocre.
Yeah, he's a great character, but he's not important enough to America.
Right.
Probably because he's, and I know this is...
A panther. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to say it, but now it's out there.
It is, I'm sorry, but I think it has to be said.
Yeah.
Shame on you, America. Panthers are, they're not people.
I think that's the most controversial statement you've ever made on the show. Panthers aren't human.
Panthers aren't people. They're panthers.
I know a certain panther party who might disagree. No. I'm not going to talk about it.
No, but that's
it's
I mean
not why we're here.
Yeah, but eventually I would like to go over each one of these movies and have predictions about what we think they're how they're gonna do. I don't think there's time for it right now. I'm not really prepared for it, but I would like to cover that in a future episode.
We can do it next podcast.
Okay.
One big thing, and this is near and dear to our hearts, because if you didn't know, we are Let's Players. And
we are.
We would appreciate you checking out the videos. I think you'll really enjoy them. Warlocks on YouTube, which is just Warlocks right now.
Yeah, but if you're looking for it, you want to look for Warlocks Games and Beer, which is our old name.
Yeah, it's still our URL.
Yeah.
They gave us the chance to get a new URL, but...
Did they?
I thought.
No.
I think you still do it.
I'll try. I'll look into it.
Okay. But yeah, Warlocks, so...
The link's below. You'll find the YouTube link.
Yeah, it's either going to be Warlocks Games and Beer or Warlocks Entertainment System, which is what we are.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Sorry for the confusion.
We should just start saying that those are other guys.
Oh, the
yeah.
The Warlocks from another universe, maybe?
Jim,
oh, there's another thing we could do. We could do like we did with the Death of Johnny Dim, whatever we called it. Death of Johnny or whatever.
We could call it
Death of Dim. We could have Warlock Secret War.
That's not bad. I like
that.
Right. Warlock Secret Social Media War. okay, but Jimmy Kimmel. He did a lighthearted sketch, which I think was in good faith. He was poking fun at the idea of Let's Plays, because Let's Plays are a silly idea. They're one of those silly...
At the surface, yeah.
Yeah, they're one of those silly ideas that, when executed properly, really, really works.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Rocket Raccoon or Thanos. You know, very silly idea, great execution. And he was talking about how it's ridiculous to watch a person play a video game when you could just play a video game. And then he made jokes about watching people playing video games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was a bit of a buzz. I think a lot of people thought that he was trying to prove his point.
Right.
By actually watching some Let's Plays. He sat down and watched some Let's Plays and did a Let's Play of Rocket League with Miss May and Markiplier.
Yeah.
A lot of the headlines when I heard about this, it was like, Jimmy Kimmel proves his point by making worst Let's Play ever. One, it's not the worst Let's Play I've ever seen.
No, there's some bad. There's some horrible ones out there.
There were parts of it that I thought were funny.
Yeah, and there was humor in it, and I think that we're going to be mostly agreeing on this, and we can just get through this real quick since we both agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the exposure that he gave Let's Plays is actually a positive thing, for one, and two, there was points, and he did it in his own Jimmy Kimmel way of being snarky, but he kind of admitted that he was out of touch. And didn't realize how big they were.
Yes.
But he did it in his way, and he still, you know, he has to somewhat still make fun of them. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's comedy.
Yeah. But, and it wasn't a bad segment. It was actually kind of funny, especially if you're a Let's Player. A little frustrating when you're watching him play, because he's obviously not doing it right on purpose. But anyway, I thought it was decent for the Let's Play community to get that exposure.
Mm-hmm. Could he have been more gracious? Yes. Did he need to be? That's the question.
No, but like I said, that's how Jimmy Kimmel is. He's a snarky son of a bitch.
No. What I'm saying is, does he need to be more gracious?
No.
Yeah, that's my thought on it. He's cracking fun at it.
Right.
Which is...
That's late night talk shows like that.
That's comedy in general.
Yeah.
We crack jokes not only about the fact that we're adults playing video games, and this is the reason why. Like,
right.
It's a thinly veiled reason to go and stay over and play video games.
it's the new sleepover.
But also, God, and I know that we're dealing with a vocal minority here, but there was so much vitriol
towards Jimmy Kimmel. And like we said earlier, negativity on the internet, it's nothing new, and especially gamers. Like those comments that he highlighted on his show were no surprise to me at all. That's gamers, I hate to say it, but are kind of notorious for that kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
language and vitriol.
I think we've got this idea that somehow that there's such a thing as bad publicity.
Right.
And there's not. There just isn't.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to circle back to this. He made a good Let's Play.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite Let's Players have had games that I wouldn't watch.
Right.
I sat all the way through Jimmy Kimmel's Let's Play. It wasn't particularly long.
Yeah.
But I was kind of sad to see it end. One thing I will say is that I've never seen Miss May, but I have seen Markiplier, and I'm not a fan of solo Let's Plays, but I have seen him in team Let's Plays before, or two-man Let's Plays, and he's a funny, entertaining guy, and I can't help but feel that maybe they were edited down to highlight Jimmy Kimmel and downplay Markiplier and Miss May.
Probably.
I cannot confirm that. I know if I was Jimmy Kimmel, I would have done it.
Well, and they took stabs at Jimmy, which was nice to see.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But usually, I know that Markiplier is used to being in his own arena, and he doesn't censor himself whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I think that he was on TV and kind of nervous.
I'm sure.
And I think it was actually Jimmy who had to be bleeped in that instance. Overall, do I think it was a good experience? Yes, because he didn't prove his point. Obviously, that Let's Play, it was entertaining to me. And two, I don't think that there was any point to prove. I think he was making a joke. Johnny, your thoughts?
Like I said, I think it was done in the way Jimmy Kimmel does stuff, and I think that there was some not backpedaling, but there was some admittance that Jimmy Kimmel is a little bit out of touch in that segment, and I think overall it was positive for the Let's Play community.
Mm-hmm. You think that we're going to be rolling in those sweet YouTube months thanks to Jimmy?
I hope so.
We're going to have to send him
an
egg basket.
White eggs.
Oh, it's in the video. One of the guys literally called him an egg.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Okay, so something Johnny's very excited about. We got to touch on it. We got to feel it up. We got to touch
it a lot.
We got to take it. We got to stretch it out. We got to put it on the newspaper right over the Garfield comic, and then we're gonna pull it back and look. It remembered the Garfield comic in reverse.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking about Silly Putty. It's time for top three. Top three. This is in honor of... I was having a very lengthy Facebook conversation with Johnny last night. I was like, we got to talk about Pillars of Eternity. They have a new expansion coming out. You love Pillars of Eternity.
And I said, what are you fucking talking about?
I was talking about the fact you love Pillars of Eternity.
Right. And it took us a long time to get to this point, but we finally got to the point where he was thinking of Pillars of the Earth, which is a board game with expansions, but more famously, it's a very good book, which I do suggest everybody read that.
Yeah. So either way, in honor of the fact that we planned for a segment that none of us know anything about.
Well, I found out a little bit about it. A little call out to that game. It does look really good, and it's a spiritual successor to stuff like Icewind Dale, which was popular in the late 90s. Mm. So go check it out. It's pretty cool.
Well, we're gonna do the top three, bottom three worst games we have never played. I think this is actually a first, where our list will contain only things that we feel negatively about.
Wait. You said top and bottom three worst games?
Oh, no, it's just games. Games you never played. Okay, some of them will be positive.
Yes, there are positive and negative, yes.
That's right. Okay, yeah, because I'm looking at mine and I'm like, I really wanted to play that. Why did I say that? Okay, Johnny Dim.
Yes.
You're very excited about this. You start.
Are we going bottom first or top? Let's go bottom first.
I want to do top first. I think we've been too friendly this cast.
Ooh. Okay, so we're doing top first. I have a few honorable mentions. You can stop me at any point if you want to talk about
it. Stop now.
Done.
Now, go ahead.
Okay, so I got a few honorable mentions. Because what happened was I started looking at all these games that I know people have, like, really liked, that I know people are raving about, that I've never played.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I do not want to play. Some of them I do want to give a chance. And these are the honorable mentions of ones I do. Vagrant Story, which I didn't realize when it came out. For some reason, I just wanted to play it. It was an RPG, I think it's a JRPG that, and I hadn't played a lot of JRPGs. I still haven't, but when I was a kid, I wanted to play them because role-playing sounded like fun. Role-playing games. And,
they do sound like fun.
Yeah, they do. This one, came out for the PlayStation, I think. Either PlayStation or PS2. I thought it was the original PlayStation, but I don't remember. And, Anyway, it looked cool, but I found out later that it actually had really high reviews. I wanted to play it even more. I still haven't played it. So Vagrant Story, also Castlevania, Symphony of the Night. Journey is another game that I really want to play. Never played it. Resident Evil 4.
Good game.
I really want to play that. Half-Life 2, I have never played.
That game actually turned me off to Half-Life.
Really?
I don't know. I played it before I played Half-Life 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... I mean, I know I didn't really get out of the tutorial section, but I don't know. I just couldn't get into it.
People seem to love that game. Mm-hmm. They're super anticipating an announcement that Halo or Half-Life 3 is an actual thing. Anyway, I want to give it a shot at least. I'm not so sure about the aesthetics of it. I think those are a turnoff for me.
Gray.
Yeah.
More gray.
Yeah. Anyway, so my top three.
Wait, you're starting?
Yeah, those are just honorable mentions.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
Top three. Number three is Majora's Mask. Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask.
Yes.
And a lot of people love this game. And I know it didn't get great reviews when it first came out, but it took years for people to go back and play it, and I finally started hearing a lot of positive about it. And I really do want to play that game. Especially since I played a little bit of Ocarina of Time, and for whatever reason, the camera gave me a headache.
Did you get out of the Kokori Village in Ocarina of Time? Did you get...
The last time I tried to play it, I did not.
Did you at least get to the Great Ziku Tree?
No. I got lost.
Did you at least learn the controls? That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Okay. Because I think Majora's Mask 2, to some extent, makes an assumption about you having played the first game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to an extent. You. But I think you'll be fine.
We actually talked about this last night. I have never played Portal.
Whoa, Wally Wambles. Now we've got Captain J in the studio, a.k.a. my living room. So, how's it going, Captain J?
Pretty good.
All right.
Woo!
Okay, so Portal.
Yeah, I've never played Portal.
You're not gonna
do it.
Yeah, you're not gonna like that game.
I've been anticipating actually enjoying it, but now that I've looked like
it's nothing but puzzles.
I know. It's gonna suck,
dude.
For me, puzzles. I'm such a non-human.
Yeah, you really are. There's. I mean, to quote Captain Picard, like to humans, a mystery is irresistible.
Right.
And I'm actually surprised that it was such a big hit because Portal doesn't hold your hand.
Right.
And modern gaming is all about holding your hand.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm glad that it has the following that it does, that it became what it is. I'd like to let's play it with you.
Yeah.
I'd like to.
Oh my god.
That might be fun.
Yeah.
I would love to do that, but then I'd just yell at you because
I'd probably yell at everything.
Oh, and it's not going to be co-op. I'm just going to watch you play the game.
Well, Portal 1 doesn't have co-op.
Yeah, Portal 2 it does though, doesn't
but
it?
But it's completely different.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't play the original game with another person. It's something right. Separate.
Yeah.
Number 1 on the list of games that
don't get too excited, Johnny.
Number one on the list of games I have not played.
You're gonna mess the couch,
but would like to play. Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah,
that's a good game.
I've never played.
Completely based on other people's opinions.
It looks good. It sounds good. I think I have 3 different stations on Pandora right now that all play that song because I thumb up every time.
I just realized it's actually really weird that I actually own that game on Super Nintendo and I've never played it.
We should play that game.
Yeah.
Play it. Do it.
People are probably yelling at the podcast right now. Like, how do you own... The game's expensive as shit. It's very expensive right now.
Yeah.
It was a gift. I'll just say that.
I always wanted to play because the same studio that put together Dragon Ball Z actually Ooh. Did the cutscenes for that.
Zach?
Yo, dude.
Top three.
Number three, the one that I am least excited to play, but still highly anticipating, Cave Story.
Okay.
Heard of Cave Story?
That sounds familiar.
Cave Story is about two young gentlemen.
Yes.
Who, I'm sorry. No, Cave Story is a side-scrolling Metroidvania RPG side-scroller. Well, I said side-scroller.
Yeah. It's a double side-scroller.
Double.
Yeah, which makes it a 3D game.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, it's this weird quirky RPG where you level up your gun and you just shoot the guys, and there's a story to it, and honestly, that story is why it's number 3 on my list.
Okay, I'm looking up like pictures for this game, and very little of it looks like it's done in a cave.
No, it's, yeah, I know.
Not really a dungeon crawler.
It's not a dungeon crawler at all. It's very much a Metroidvania game where, you know, it's a big open world concept, but everything's 2D.
Okay.
So exploring has to do with, like, you know, fixing the platforming challenges or upgrading rocket boosters and stuff like that to get to the new areas. But what drew me to watch Let's Plays, etc. of this game is the fact that you get to just shoot everything. Yeah. Everything just gets to be shot up. It's amazing. Kind of like Broforce.
Yeah.
Number 2, Black and White.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The old Lionhead Studio game.
Okay, I thought you were gonna call it because you can have a large feline god. I thought the old Lionhead game. Yeah.
No, Lionhead Studios. Plays
Lionhead.
I dislike just about every game from that studio.
Really?
Yep.
This one seemed really interesting.
Marlon played a lot of Black and White.
It seems like his kind of game. It's really quirky.
Yeah, it is.
Because you play a god.
Right.
A literal god. In fact, you're ephemeral. You don't have a character in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You just influence it, and like you send down your avatar, and yep. It's either a big monkey or yep. something like that. And you actually do like little signs, like you're blessing the play field.
Yep.
In order to
I'm
make
surprised you've never played this.
I've seen it played. I just never played it.
But you want to play it.
I do. And number one, this is kind of a cop out because it hasn't been released yet. Everspace. Oh my god, Everspace.
Everspace.
Everspace. People were calling it Evespace. They were wrong.
I've never heard of this game.
Okay. This is a new space aviation game. Is it aviation when you're? No, it's aeronautics.
It's floating through space.
I think it's
force pushing.
I think it's aeronautics. It's a new aeronautics shooter. Where you are piloting, you're piloting a ship, and it looks beautiful. The cockpits are designed in such a way. You actually have dual camera control.
Mm-hmm.
You pilot your ship and you look around.
Yeah,
right.
Sounds disorienting.
Well, the thing is, like, it always snaps. I believe it always snaps back to forward whenever you want it to. So your camera is in line with what you'd be shooting at.
Right.
But you can still look around.
Was this the one that's like the Minecraft in space?
Sounds interesting.
I don't think so.
I think that one actually already exists. I think it was maybe a Kickstarter game or something that was on Project Steam's, like, was it Project Steam? Project Game Go? Black, White, Red?
What? Are you just talking about Pokemon games now?
You're just describing the German flag.
No, I think it was... I think it's called Project Steam, I think. But it's where the indie games, people can go and vote on whether they want it to be... Project Greenlight, that's what it was called.
Okay.
That's why I kept coming with the colors. It's Project Greenlight. So people can vote whether they want it to be on Steam or not.
Maybe. I mean, it very well could have been. What I was so excited about this game, and the most that I know about it, is that it's Oculus Rift compatible.
Ooh!
So, you know, you're piloting...
And you can just look around.
Yeah, you're just... Mm.
Wait, was this the demo for Oculus?
Yeah.
That was done in the Eve universe?
Yeah.
Oh. That exists. I don't know if you can get it yet, but it was a demo.
Well, you can, that's why I haven't played it.
Well, you also don't have an Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Huh?
You will not?
No. She's not interested in the concept.
Well, that's because it's going to make me violently ill.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'd love to be able to play it. Absolutely. It's not going to happen.
Hey, I'd make a good Let's Play.
Oh, God, no.
Let's Bomb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's on your list.
That's on my list, and that's the last of my list. So, Johnny, bottom 3.
Banjo-Kazooie.
I haven't played it. I hear good things. Let me ask you this. Is it because of the aesthetic? Is it because it's too cute?
Yep.
Seriously?
Didn't you play Mario?
A little bit, yeah.
I was thinking about this the other night. Like, back then, back in the day, the challenge was legitimate. And because the challenge was so good, we didn't care about the characters being mature.
It's true. We also didn't have a lot of options, either.
We did. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I also played my fair share of Doom and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
So...
But, you know, we didn't used to care about that kind of thing.
No.
Why now?
I grew up and became a Scrooge.
A Scrooge McDuck? Because he is nothing if not fanciful.
Not the other Scrooge. I also have on my list GTA V. I never anticipate or want to play this game.
Yeah. I'm just not interested.
And people don't like my... I think I've explained it on the podcast before.
About the moral high ground?
Yeah, I don't like glorifying violence and crime. Now, violence in a fantasy realm I'm okay with, but I don't like such a real world emulated and real crimes that can be committed that you can see committed in a real environment, in a real life environment, being duplicated and glorified.
I know that we've talked about it on the show before, but I really want Rockstar to create a... It wouldn't be an expansion. It would have its own campaign mode, but it would be set in this... It would have all the same maps, and characters from both games would be able to interact online. I want Grand Theft Auto Enforcers,
where you play a cop.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
And so you'd be kind of like... either a SWAT member or a crooked cop, or let's be honest, they're fantasy thugs that do everything. So these would be fantasy cops where you're a detective sometime, a SWAT sometimes, stuff like that.
Undercover sometimes.
Yeah, and so you have to do the things that others won't. Like if you're in a high speed chase and you lose your car, commandeer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would.
This would be Rockstar. Get on it.
I would love to see something similar to that, but I love multiplayer to be. I want a game to exist where you're playing an undercover cop. And it's a multiplayer game where you're everybody else is a thug, and they're all suspicious of everybody else being an undercover cop.
What is that, like Netrunner? Isn't Netrunner like that?
Netrunner. Yeah, nope.
Wait, what's the one
Netrunner's a board game, a car game.
Well, yeah, but you're secret agents?
No.
Okay.
No. But Resistance! Resistance!
Yes.
It's called Resistance.
So you're talking about like a multiplayer-style Resistance where one person's the undercover cop.
Yeah, but a video game version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... I don't want to hash it out right now.
Yeah, that's a deep subject.
Yeah, and lastly,
Final Fantasy X.
You're wrong. You're wrong. I don't know what to say. It's a great game.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of fun to play.
Okay.
It has the most innovative level up system that I've ever seen, which led to
the sphere system.
Dude, the sphere system is great because like your class, like you're on a sphere grid.
Yeah.
And you level up by activating new spheres.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, and it's got to be contiguous.
Yeah.
The thing is that your class is determined by where you start in the sphere grid, but they're all connected. So if you work your way into somebody else's, you get all of their proficiencies.
Right.
And it makes it so deep, and it changes the way that each individual plays. For example, my summoner, who's also your white magic user, Yuna, in that game, I worked her all the way to black magic. Turns out, her black magic score is way better than Lulu's.
Nice.
Yeah, so she becomes a summon herself as soon as she has access to damaging spells.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I guess.
It's...
Now, that part of it sounds interesting, but I've seen a lot of footage, I've seen other people play it, and I just about fall asleep. I get really bored with it.
Try 10 too.
No. I've seen more of that game than I've seen of 10, and I will not play that game.
That's high, that's even more high octane.
Oh, God, the dress spheres.
It's a good idea. Either way.
Go ahead. What's your bottom? What's your bottom?
What's my bottom?
What's
go to zaxbottom.com to learn all about it.
Don't. I'm pretty sure it's a terrible
I'm going to grab. I'm gonna grab that URL if it's available.
So much fun. No, I'm not gonna. That's an old joke. Just don't download from Zach's bottom. Okay. Number three.
Yep.
Spider-Man, Return of the Sinister Six for NES.
What the hell did you say?
I don't know. Spider-Man, Return of the Sinister Six for NES.
For the NES.
Yes.
What's your problem?
Zach cannot talk.
All right.
Yes.
No, this game takes Spider-Man, and it takes all the Spider-Man out of it. I've seen it played. There's been lots of negative reviews about it, and I don't want to say that I'm just riding the coattails of their experiences, but just looking, just taking a step back from the opinions and everything else, it takes one of my favorite characters, it puts him in a crappy game. That Spider-Man is all about energy and being fast-paced, you know, and being able to anticipate and being in scenarios where you have to react quickly. And imagine Super Mario.
Imagining it right now.
You can't run.
Can't run.
Can't run. And your only power-up is that you can shoot a line to any object in the game, and then slowly crawl up it.
That sounds boring.
It's a bad game.
Yeah.
Number two. Glover. I know precious little about this game.
Glover.
Yes, it has some...
Was it the white glove?
Yes, you play a white glove.
Yeah.
And he walks around...
The Hamburger Helper guy.
Yes. Yeah, it did feel like a tie-in, didn't it?
A little bit.
So you play Glover, and I think the objective of every level is to get the ball into a hole. Like, you're not only a glove, but also a hand, so you're grabbing the ball. You grab the ball,
you throw it,
and you go straight for the hole, is what you do.
Oh, yeah.
This is the filthiest podcast I've ever had in a while.
It's exciting, though.
But no, I've seen Let's Plays of it. And I know what I know about it based upon those, and it just doesn't. The platforming is clumsy. The character is uninteresting. And the goal is stupid.
Right.
Which is interesting for me because I like those uniform goals in video games, like Sonic, spin the sign. Mario, grab the flag. You know, stuff like that. Something about this just turned me off, and I can't tell you what.
Yep.
And number one game that I don't want to play of all time, although it's interesting that it's my number one because I do enjoy that it exists, Night Trap.
Oh.
Night Trap is a game that came out for the Sega CD, I believe.
Yeah, this is an infamous game now.
And it was Five Nights at Freddy's. I would say the Five Nights at Freddy's drew a lot of inspiration as far as gameplay is concerned. From this game, where you are monitoring a house based upon cameras, and you're in a static location. You never see yourself or see your own perspective. You're in a van outside this. You're in a van outside a house where a slumber party is happening
of girls. Yeah,
it's a lot. There's lots to like about this game, really.
if you're into that.
And the whole thing is that there are bad guys. They're supposed to be monsters, but they're dressed up like. Paramilitary, SWAT, etc. And you need to set off traps. And the fun thing is that you get to watch like a really creepy episode of Full House.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because this is all film taken into converted to digital full motion video is how you watch the entire thing.
Yeah.
And like there's different parts of the plot that if you're paying attention or you're lucky, you get to see that part of the plot. Otherwise, nothing. But that's all I got. Before we go, we do have a very special message for all you warriors out there from our very own and yours truly, Edge of Blade.
This is Edge of Blade for Warlock's Entertainment System. We value your engagement and investment in our content. That's why I, Edge of Blade, want you on the Warlock Feedback Panel. Do you have input that can make the Warpod better? We listen to all our fans, but those who contribute on Patreon are the co-owners, and they get to steer our content. If you're just interested in receiving content, $2 opens up our private content section, which we will be populating soon. But if you want to help build Warlocks into your favorite gaming podcast, start a $10 membership and get a seat on our feedback panel immediately. For those who want to invest a little bit more, say an ongoing $20 membership, we will thank you by giving you an automatic entry into all prize drawings, and you get the Warlock merchandise as we produce it. This means t-shirts, bottle openers, and you still get to wield your voting powers on the feedback panel. As Zach says, if I were putting words in his mouth, we love you all and we hate to plead you, but it's time to say we need your help to make Warlocks the best it can be. Everybody.
Thanks, Edge.
Yeah, that was actually some really good information. I hope everybody was paying attention.
You sons. before we sign off officially, I just want to thank all of you out there for listening. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, etc. And don't forget to check out Comicpalooza's Fanfare, starting September 19th and going through the 20th, so 2 days.
Yeah, and our good friend Ming Chin will be there, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, now I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
There's bye, one everybody.